powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Wilson Lawrence. Wilson, thank you for being a part of this show.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about you, what your company is, what you do, and what got you to this point in your life?
Okay, so now at the moment, I'm a personal development and performance coach. So what I do is I help people by working with them to transform their business and or personal lives from where they are now to where they want to be in the future. So it's about helping them to get the results that they can be happy with in order to progress in business and or in life. But how did I get here? I got here because I went into a life storm of my own back in 2015. I was just stagnating in life. I wasn't being very accountable with my life. And I wasn't being responsible, but I went into a life storm. And the only option that I had was to be successful in order to pull myself out of that life storm. And because I was reading, I was looking at podcasts, I hired a coach, I had a mentor as well. I liked what I was being counseled in, coached in. And I thought, I would like to do that for people as well. Prior to that, I was living in Germany for 20 years. I was originally born in the UK. I then went to the Caribbean, where I am right now at the age of 10. Went back to the UK when I was 14 to complete my education and either to become a lawyer, an architect, or a doctor, but I had different ideas. So I went into the British military, as you know. So I had a 12-year career with the British military, came out, started working for Lloyds. Oops, sorry, am I allowed to? For Lloyds Bank, too late. Then I became an English communications coach in Germany. So I worked with most of the major German automotive organizations, plus some other companies. Then I moved here to the Caribbean to support my mother, who is in a nursing home suffering from dementia. And so all of my business now is online, and I'm really loving giving value to people, which is what I believe I was born to do.
Well, this is right in your wheelhouse. This episode is called Limited Beliefs and Self-Beliefs. So you're a perfect subject matter expert on this episode, and the fact that you have some automobile experience to go along with it. I think that's really cool to kind of bring that full circle.
That's true, actually. I've never thought of that. I'm talking to National Auto Care, and you know, I've been with in actual fact, all of the main German automotive brands.
Yeah, that's so great. So let's kind of full circle. Yeah, let's jump right into it. Describe limited beliefs, your definition of it.
Well, a limiting belief, I mean, not many people really know about them. They just know that they have these doubts. But what a limiting belief actually is, it's a state of mind or a belief that restricts your performance in some way. So it could restrict your self-belief, your personal life, your physical life, your key relationships, your job, your business, and even in your finances. And usually limiting beliefs are, it's something that you are accusing yourself of not having or not being. And the result of that really can be quite negative.
Yeah, so if we put this into terms of an F&I manager or salesperson or service advisor listening to this episode, they could probably think back, you know, when they started in that position, they had limited beliefs that they couldn't do the job or how do I get better, right?
Yes.
So can you list some limited beliefs a person may have in those positions that they can?
Certainly. I'm not good enough.
Right. That's probably a big one. Task.
Yeah, they might be given a task. And although they might accept the task or run away, they might be saying to themselves, you know, I am not good enough to undertake this task. Another one could be that I'll never be a success or I won't be successful. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough knowledge. I'm not smart enough, and I'll never be a great leader. These are some of the common ones. But actually, with limiting beliefs, you can categorize them. They're either going to be about self, they're going to be about money, love, or career, and or business.
So how can that person start to really solve some of those limited beliefs? Can they do it on their own?
It's really, really challenging, to be quite honest with you, Corey. You know, you can go onto the internet and YouTube or whatever, and you can find, you know, 10 amazing ways to get rid of limiting beliefs, you know, or the three secrets to getting rid of limiting beliefs. The thing is, getting rid of a limiting belief is, it takes work. Why? Because in our imprint years are going to be from the very moment we are born up until probably about the ages of somewhere between 7 and maybe 11, we are being imprinted by the experiences. And so it becomes programmed. I'm sure we've all heard that term before. We become programmed, and that program speaks to us. So if you're given a task of, I don't know, let's say that we have to increase productivity by 13%, in the next quarter, the first thing that you're going to say to yourself is, oh, I can't do that, or I don't believe I can do that, or I'm not going to be successful in doing that, although you will undertake the task. And this is where kind of, I think, imposter syndrome comes in. So we're telling ourselves what we can't do, what we're not enough of, what we don't have, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't actually know that that's true. So one way to really start to tackle these limiting beliefs is to challenge that limiting belief by asking yourself, is it true? Now, this is not my work. This is the work of a lady by the name of Byron Katie. And so, for example, if I said to myself, I'm not good enough to give a presentation, or I'm not confident enough, I'm going to challenge that limiting belief by asking myself, is it true? Yes or no? Then the next question I'm going to ask myself is, can you be sure or absolutely certain that it's true? So what I'm doing is, I'm through those first two questions, I'm challenging that limiting belief. Then the third question I would ask myself is, what goes on inside you when you believe that you are not good enough to deliver a presentation? It's likely going to be panic, anxiety, stress, embarrassment, I'm worthless, I'm useless, whatever. You know, we'll think of every possible negative emotion and throw that into the mix as well. Yeah. So once we've got there, then the next question is, okay, who would you be without that belief? If you did not believe that you're not good enough to deliver that presentation, who would you be? Simple. I'd be confident. I'd be competent. I'd be amazing. I'd be happy. So we have to challenge that belief. And the belief is something that comes, it's a thought impulse, which is fed to us. Then we develop an emotion and or feeling. That emotion and or feeling then drives the result either in a positive or a negative way. But with a limiting belief, it's more likely going to drive it in a negative direction.
Now, I really like that, because when I teach my training classes, we talk about power words, the words that we use, that salespeople are always on stage. So you have to give the best of yourself to that customer. And you can really tell that when you have to give a great presentation to every single customer, that's where that fear basis comes in, and they don't want to role play. They feel uncomfortable. They have those doubts, those limited beliefs that you were talking about. So that really kind of plays into really anything in what we do for work, is by training, even when you get the job, where you're happy to get the job, but to excel at it, to take that next step in being a great communicator, you have to understand that you do have those beliefs, and how do you get rid of those? And that's right on point. I mean, fear has a lot to do with a lot of it, right?
Yes, it does. I mean, if I can share something from my personal life, personal professional life, is some years ago, I was offered a gig with a large British automotive company that makes one of the best off-road vehicles in the world. no names included there. And it was to do a 30-minute motivational speech on morning routines. Well, you know me, Corey. I am the king of morning routines, right? So, and I can talk and talk and talk and talk. But for some reason, because this company was or is what it is, I then started saying, I'm not confident enough. My speech won't be fluent or fluid enough. I'm not good enough. I will be a failure. These are the things that I was telling myself. And then ultimately, what then happened was, there's a little part of the brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala is the threat detection system for us. And so what then happened was, I went into flight mode. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not ready to do this. And I just backed away from it. Incidentally, that company did come back to me about 2 years later, and they became a client for regular coaching.
Well, how's that for a full circle? Nice job.
But then, for me, what was important, because as I realized what had happened, I was really disgusted and angry with myself. And that's the point when I realized that I had to do something with my limiting beliefs. And bearing in mind, I was already coaching people as well. And so I went really, really deep into it. And this is where I discovered what a paradigm is and the process of changing the paradigm. So if you might want to change your behavior to say, well, okay, I am successful. I am going to be successful. We can do it by writing affirmations. I help people to write good, effective affirmations, and you read them and you believe them. And then what this does, it then helps to rewrite that paradigm into a positive one that helps you to let's say, exert the behaviors that's going to bring you success, that's going to bring you more self-belief.
Huh. Well, that kind of leads
paradigm.
Me into, yeah, that kind of bleeds into the next question I was going to ask you, which is, what can someone do to be more confident? It seems like that exercise that you were just talking about is one way to become more confident, correct?
Yes, I would believe I would believe that myself, but I wouldn't have believed it some years ago. But in order to become confident, what is confidence? You know, how are you a confident person? Yes, I am. Well, how do you know? What is confidence? If you ever ask somebody what is confidence, I wonder how many different variations of an answer you will get. But I believe that confidence is a belief that you are going to be okay in any situation, knowing that you're not necessarily going to be supported externally, which leads me on to something else, right? So we are creatures of habit.
Yes.
So if we do something that we like doing, we're likely to do it again. Once we do it again, then we become more confident at it. So, you know, I like doing CrossFit. And there were movements in CrossFit that I thought I would never, ever be able to do, but I kept doing them. And the more you do them, the more confident you become. The more confident you become, the more competent you become. You've just got to do it and do it and do it. This is, it's like a psychological loop, which we call the confidence competence circle. So the more confident you become, it feeds into the competence level. The more competent you become, the more competent you become. So you just have to do it and do it. And it's small steps.
Now, would you recommend someone who's listening to this podcast, whether they're an owner of a dealership, a GM, salesperson, service advisor, to look at doing something different to give them more confidence in certain things?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I would recommend that they would do something called a performance check. This is how I don't like looking at weaknesses or calling things weaknesses. I like to call them areas of opportunity in which we can grow, you see. But this is part of a much bigger issue, because a lot of people have identity issues. They don't know who they really are. So if you ask somebody, for example, who are you? They're likely to respond with their name, but that's not who they are. That's the name that they were given. Who are you? They will then probably give you their job title. That's what they are at work. That's not who they are. So we need to know who we are in order to move forwards. And so we do a performance check around the work that we're doing or around the situations that we have socially. And we look for those areas of opportunity, weaknesses, all right? And then we do an analysis to find out what's causing that. And then we tackle it. And it's nearly always going to be fear-based. Don't forget, I talk top side down, inside out. We get that thought impulse about, oh, I've got to give a presentation. You know, I don't like standing up in front of, I don't like standing up in front of people because I'm not good enough to give a presentation. Then what happens is anxiety comes as a byproduct of that fear. The anxiety then drives the result. We start stammering, stuttering, or whatever. Or we say, ultimately, oh, I'm sorry, I've got flu today. I can't deliver the. But that happens. That can happen. So what do? We have to identify what that fear is, and then we have to tackle it step by step.
I really like that. So let's take it back to training for your job, which is continuous, right? You're always training. You're always trying to get better. You're always trying to learn more. Should someone in the dealership kind of give this test, this way to really find out what their areas of opportunity are and their strengths, and then train, have someone come in and train on those that they need to work on?
Absolutely. Because, but then again, you've got to look at ego. Ego is about protecting the self. Are people really going to be honest? Are they going to be open? I mean, introspection is a great thing, right? So what is it that I'm afraid of? What is it that I'm telling myself that I can't do? We find these things out. And this is where, you know, your own coaching comes into line, excuse me, comes into play here, and we get to the bottom of these things, and then we can start. So where do you want to be? What does that look like? What would need to happen in order for you to have the success that that you desire? And then we can work backwards. We can reverse engineer it and then take the steps that's necessary to work towards breakthroughs so people get the results.
That's really interesting, because everyone learns differently, right? And everyone has different areas of opportunity. If you can do this test, you can really have one-on-one training with the particular salesperson at the dealership, F&I manager, or even service advisor, so that you're tailoring their learning to what they really truly need. I really like that.
Yeah. Wow. But also It's a case. I mean, we've had several conversations in the past about, you know, self and time management. And a lot of it can be that people are just overwhelmed and they think they don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. That's another, in my opinion, that's another limiting belief, because we all have the same 24 hours in a day, but we all have the higher faculty, mental faculty, of being creative with our time, which means that we can prioritize things on a more effective and efficient basis, which then gives us the time to do the things that we love doing, where we can get better results. I mean, it comes back to the 80-20% principle.
Which is?
So in order to get 80% of the results, what 20% of tasks do I need to focus on?
Oh, okay. I like that. Now, we've had this topic of time management before on Fixed Ops 5 with Sean about the BDC and with Joe Chambers and even Eric Houdigi on the advisor, you know, from the advisor's point of view, scheduling someone, they instantly think, I don't have time to get one more customer, to greet one more customer. And that is that is definitely a limited belief within the service department and within the BDC department as well, is that they don't want to upset the customer, and they don't want to overload their technicians or the advisor. So they don't maximize the time that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's really, really interesting. I like that. And I think if people really want to reach out to you and have you do these tests to their employees, I think this would be a good time for them to maybe send you an email or look at your website. I'm guessing you have a website, correct?
No, I don't have a website. No. Okay. But if people wanted to reach out to me, they can email me. I find that more of a personal way of doing things. Everybody's saying, Wilson, you should get a website. But I work on the basis of making relationships, good relationships through rapport. Websites, in my opinion, they're good, but for me, they don't give me what I need as a coach. I like to work one-on-one with people to establish rapport, build a relationship, and then add value.
So what's a good email address where people can reach out to you?
So my email address would be will_39@me.com. Once again, that's will_39@me.com. You can also find me in LinkedIn under the name of Wilson Lawrence. I believe we are connected there. I'm also in Instagram as Wilson_Lawrence_coaching.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're right up against the time, but before we, you know, say goodbye, what are your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service advisor, an agent, someone of leadership at the dealership can really take away from this episode?
We're all human beings. We are creatures of habit. And if we are creatures of habit, then we should become slaves. We should develop good habits and become slaves to them. And that is in bettering ourselves, tackling our limiting beliefs, and also remembering that limiting beliefs are, it's really something that we believe about ourselves that restricts us. So I think that the main thing is that we're all human. I have limiting beliefs as well as everybody else does. So we're all in this together, but having the tools in order to fix that, in order to move forwards, in order to become more effective and efficient at what we do in our private lives, in our professional lives, is certainly our responsibility to do that. And so, yes, and I thank you for your time and allowing me to deliver what I know about limiting beliefs.
I love it, Wilson. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends, their family into your establishment, then you've got the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email, csmith@nationalautocare.com. Wilson, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question, like I do with every guest. Will you please come back?
I would love to come back. And actually, I've already got a subject in mind, asking smart questions.
Love it. Till next time.
Okay, Corey. Thank you.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.